Would you please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10? Luke chapter 10, page 843 in your Red Pew Bibles. I'll give you a warning right off the bat. If you are following along in your notes, they're not going to match up really well. Even the title. I'm cruising along, and about Thursday afternoon, I realized I'm working on two sermons instead of one, and so I got to cut one, and I'd already give Sharon the outline, which is way too much. So it pretty well matches up, but anyhow, just giving you that heads up, so when you're like, what's number three? He didn't give us number three. How many of you hosted any 4th of July gatherings out there? All right, or perhaps when's the last time you hosted a party or a gathering and you were the one in charge of getting everything together and making sure everything's, and that could be kind of frantic. You know, if you're the one in charge, you want to make sure your ducks in a row, everything's got everything. If that is you, you'll kind of relate to this story a little bit as we get into it. You kind of shake your head, yeah, I've been there. Remember last week we had the story of the Good Samaritan, and one of the things we saw is that how loving our neighbor means willing to cross cultural barriers in order to show love. And love is not saying a prayer. Love is something that you do. Well, this week Luke follows that story with a story of someone who is busy and showing love and serving other people, and Jesus is basically saying, stop it. So what's he doing here? Well, let's look at that. Just a couple verses. Many of you will be familiar with this. Let's start in verse 38. Before we do, let's pray, okay? God, as we jump into your word, we are so grateful that you have preserved these words written about you and about your son Jesus and about us and what's wrong with us and how we can make things right. You've preserved that for us to read here today. And so we are grateful. And so as we jump into your word, Lord, we pray that we may come to it without preconceived notions and ideas. And, oh, we've heard this before. We know what this means. But, Lord, we pray that your spirit would just show us what you want us to hear today, now, for our situation. And, Lord, I pray that my words do not get in the way of your truth here today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 48, says this. Excuse me. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Anyone ever experienced that at some time? Don't point any fingers. And then she says this, tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Have you ever been in that meeting or that group of people, and someone had walked in and you said, what are they doing here? They don't belong here, right? They're not part of the team. They're not part of the group. They're not following social protocols. What are they doing here? And that's the undercurrent of this scene here. This woman, Mary, is seated at Jesus' feet listening to him. Now, just like in all societies There are roles and places reserved for men and women. The men do this, the men act like this, the men go here, and the women do this, act like this, and go here. And that's what's going on here as well. In fact, one scholar said this. He said, the public room was where men met. The kitchen and outer quarters, unseen by outsiders, that belonged to the women. Only outside, where little children would play, and in the married bedroom, would male and female mix. And for a woman to settle down comfortably among the men would border on scandalous. Who did she think she was? Many of you might have heard of the woman by the name of Beth Moore. She's a well-known Bible teacher, and for many years she has taught women's Bible studies, and she still hosts women's conferences. And she never thought that she would speak to mixed audiences, because in the circle that she grew up in Southern, being a Southern Baptist, women were not allowed to teach men the Bible. But as her influence grew, men attended her Bible studies. And they were drawn to her, not to her gender, but for her deep love of Jesus and her faithful teachings of Scripture. Men were just like, "This, I want to be a part of this." Now, some people told her that she was out of line, that she did not belong in that space teaching men. And yet, Beth remained committed to one thing, and that was sitting at the feet of Jesus and sharing whatever he taught her with other people. She wasn't trying to make a cultural statement, you know, I have a right to do this in this time. She just wanted to know Jesus. She just wanted to follow Jesus. But in doing so, she crossed a cultural line, not to make a point, but to make Jesus the priority in her life. And that's what we see Mary doing in this scene. You picture it here. Mary is not, as Jesus is teaching everybody, Mary's not just standing in the doorway catching a few words that he's saying. She's sitting with the men, learning. Now, to sit at someone's feet, that's a description of someone who wanted to be like their teacher. You were a disciple. You were a student. You were training to become a rabbi. You were training to become a rabbi. That's what rabbis did. They gathered disciples around. And they followed them. They hung out with them, went wherever they went. And they were training these students to become like themselves, like a rabbi. Mary wanted to become like Jesus, her rabbi. She wanted to preach and teach about the things of the kingdom of God. And it's interesting to note, Jesus did not say, "Mary, what are you doing here? Don't you know your place is in the kitchen?" How many times have we heard that? He gave her permission to be there against the cultural norms of the day. And so Martha is upset, not just because she's left with doing all the work. She's upset because Mary is not fulfilling her role of being in the kitchen. It's where she should be. She should know that. Mary was behaving like a man in a society where the male and female roles were clearly marked. And Jesus lets it go. This is so like Jesus, isn't it? It's just so Jesus. I mean, last week he tears down those cross-cultural barriers outside of Judaism, talking to the Jewish people, saying, you know, you minister to the Samaritan, you minister to the foreigners. This week he's removing the barriers and taboos within Judaism itself. Now, this is good news. This is good news. Because there are no socially determined roles in the kingdom of God. First point, there are no socially determined roles in the kingdom of God. The gospel breaks down all social barriers. We are all equal in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says this, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Those were the three biggest social barriers at the time. It was a real hurdle for those Jewish people who fell in love with Jesus. They wanted to follow Jesus. They became Christians, okay? But then, so were the Gentiles. They were following Jesus, and all of a sudden, we got to hang out with those Gentiles? Well, they got to act like us. And Paul's like, no, they don't have to act like you. It's all about Jesus. And they're like, no, wait a minute. And it was a real, because you grew up with all your life thinking that, you know, the Jewish faith is where it's at and following all the rules and regulations. And all of a sudden you're looking at the Gentiles are allowed to be part of us. What? No, no. And so it's crazy to think that slaves and masters are on equal footing. It's a crazy viewpoint. Crazy viewpoint. The early church had problems with this. Shoot, we had problems with this in here, right? Our history of this church. Oh, that's why we have a balcony that used to have seating up there. We had problems with not equal footing, right? We had always been, the church has been dealing with this, and we see that in our scriptures. So this is something that we're constantly always trying to work out. But this is good news. This is good news. I can remember a number of years ago, I was speaking with a woman, and she was sharing me her story, and she had gone through a divorce many, many years ago. And she has said, you know, that's why, you know, I don't participate a lot in the church because I know what the Bible says about divorced, and I've been divorced. And you know, somehow in her mind, she was damaged goods that God couldn't fully use her. And that's the way she looked at it. She was living with this shameful past because, oh, she's a Christian, but she had been through divorce. And Luke is showing us that within the kingdom of God, there is no hierarchy. We are all on an equal plane. We don't drop down a few notches because we've had a divorce. Or because we have less of an education than other people. Or because we're on food stamps. Or because we have been abused in our past. Or because we've been in prison. Or because we're dealing with mental illness. Good news is that Jesus does not relegate us to the kitchen because of our past or our social standing. Can I get an amen for that? That's a big deal. I want us to get a handle on that. We are all welcome to sit at the feet of Jesus. And the sooner that we realize that other people who are different than us, that have issues and problems that are different than ours, the sooner we realize that they are welcome there too, it is freeing for us. We're not going to be saying, well, they do it here. Can you imagine Martha's frustration in the kitchen? Some of you experience it, right? You know. Running around, setting the table, putting all the stuff, making the soup, kneading the bread. Where's my sister? She's fuming because Mary should be in here. And she's angry because she's doing all the work. She's angry because Mary's with Jesus and the men. What is she doing? And so what does she do? She runs off to Jesus complaining like kids do on the playground, right? You see? Jesus, tell my sister to get in here with me, you know? And lovingly, Jesus calls out her name twice and tells her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things. And Jesus sees how that is eating her up inside and taking away her joy. And Jesus does not want Martha in that headspace. But then again, I wonder how many men were in that headspace too. Just sitting there listening to Jesus, trying to listen to Jesus. What is she doing here? This is our spot. What is she? And they're missing what he's saying because they're going over in their mind. What is she doing here? Jesus, did he give her permission? What is she? I like her, but golly, she doesn't know her place. What did he say? And they're missing what Jesus is saying because they're in a headspace as well, right? Jesus doesn't want us worrying about who's in and who's out, about who should be there and who should not, about who's doing what and who's not doing what. John 10:10. Jesus said, I came so they can have real life, an eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. Mary heard Jesus said that. And she says, I want that. I want to go all in. She wants to take him up on it. And so she goes and she sits at his feet to learn from him. So what do we learn from this? Number one is that the most important thing in life is listening to and learning from Jesus. Circle that, folks. That is the most important thing in life. I was at a grocery store this week, and this guy just pushing the cart. He's like in his 30s, maybe early 40s, and some older gentleman, you know, and this guy's wearing a New York Yankees shirt, T-shirt. And this older gentleman comes up to him and says, ah, New York Yankees fan. All right, yeah, go Yankees. I'm a Yankees fan. You know, just this middle of the grocery store. And so it's just a little chit-chat going on. Then he says, you know, who do you like in basketball? And the guy says, well, I like the Sixers. Oh, I like the Knicks, you know. And I just was chuckling and just saying, Lord, don't let that be me. You know, but I was just thinking about that because that's how many Christians I think we look at Christianity, that it's a team that we root for, that we follow, that we want to do well. We root for them when there's good in the news, and then we feel bad when we get slammed in the news. But that's not what Christianity is about. It's not like a sports team. We are not part of Team Jesus. The most important thing in life is not becoming a part of Team Jesus. It's about spending time with Jesus and learning how to become like Jesus and taking on his character. That's the most important thing in life, not just identifying with the team. And we do that when we stop and we take time and spend with him, quiet time where we just sit and pray or open up our Bible and read or serve or come to worship. And when we do that, when that becomes important at the top of our list, then we get to experience that abundant life that Jesus said, this is why I'm here. Hang out with me. Take on my character, you will experience that. But then that leads to number two, and that life is full of good distractions to keep us from Jesus. Verse 40, Martha was distracted by all the preparations. Notice that had to be made. Somebody was going to have to do them. Maybe it just wasn't right then. I like to sometimes play this out. So, okay, Jesus, so then what happens? And then maybe he tells Mary to sit down and he teaches a while. And then what happens when he's done? He says, okay, we are all going to set the table and make the meal and do what needs to be done, not just the women. That's how I see it playing out. And Jesus is in there kneading bread. Never did this before, huh, Peter? You know, I mean, just stuff like that, right? Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha's not bad. She's not a bad person here. She's not a bad person. But she, this is a role that had to be done at that time. And by her doing that, she missed out on some of Jesus' teaching. She missed out on some of Jesus' joy. And she was filled up with resentment. That was the big thing, man. She was just feeling, she was in that headspace that Jesus didn't want her to be in. And you know, there are tons, you think about our lives, there are tons of other good things that we can do besides choosing to commit to come here on a Sunday morning. There's tons of other things that we can do. Or taking time to read our Bible or to pray or to serve. There's a lot of other good things out there that we can do, but they may not make us more like Jesus. If we just see ourselves as being a part of Team Jesus, and hear me on this, if you just see yourself as being a part of Team Jesus, you invited Jesus in your heart, you know you're going to heaven, and you're not really looking to grow spiritually or spend time with him, then you're going to miss some wonderful opportunities and blessings that God wants to bring your way. And finally, number three is this. Making Jesus our priority just doesn't happen. It's a choice. Notice verse 41. Jesus told Martha, Mary had chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Came across a quote by one of my favorite authors, Dallas Willard, this week, and a short quote was this, is that Jesus never healed anyone's character. That when it comes to our integrity and honesty and virtue, Jesus gives us a choice. He always gives us a choice to stay where we are or to move closer to him. To spend time with him, to learn from him. Had a meeting with a friend this week, and the night before, I had a phone call with a mutual friend of ours, and I said, hey, I'm meeting with so-and-so tomorrow, and he's like, would you tell that turkey to call me? I've left like 5 messages on his phone. He didn't answer his phone. He won't, you know. And so the next day when I saw, you know, my friend, I said, hey, so-and-so. You know, I talked to so-and-so last night. He said, he wants you to call him back or at least send him a text or something. Call him back. He goes, yeah, I know, man. I'm always too busy and it's at the wrong time. And I know I need to call him back. And I was thinking about that. I said, you know, that happens to us with Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus kind of gets our attention, gives us a phone call. We look down. We feel that little pang in the heart. We look down. Oh, that's from Jesus. What do we say? We just kind of let it go to voicemail, don't we? I'm too busy right now. I've got this going on in my life. And, I'm too tired. I'll call him back tomorrow. And the problem is that we keep thinking that we'll get back to him later. And what if we spend our lives sending Jesus to voicemail because we're too busy doing the things that we think are important? Mary did not send Jesus to voicemail. And she chose to answer the call and to sit at his feet. Would you bow your heads, please? I just want you to think about that. Are you answering his call? Or do you just let the noise and the busyness of life drown him out until he goes to voicemail? Just spend a few minutes listening to Jesus as he speaks to you during this time. Jesus has spoken to you, what are you going to do about it? Father God, we thank you that there are no social barriers to the gospel. That when we come to Jesus, we are all on equal footing. Lord, sometimes the biggest challenge is for us to see other people that way. It's nice when we realize that we're there, but now, Lord, help us to welcome and receive others who are different than us. Help us to see other believers that way. Lord, would you open up our eyes to the beautiful and winsome life that you call us to in Jesus? And may we answer the call from Jesus this week and make an effort to spend time with him and talk with him and become more like him. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.